First readings from 1 Thessalonians, and God put it on my heart to add 14 through 26. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. This is what I was supposed to read originally. But rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not despise prophecies. Tell all things, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Hear the word of the Lord.
So the gospel reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for your word, for the amazing amount of information that we can learn about you that we find in our word. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at your word and explore your word this morning, that you will open our hearts and our minds to what you desire to say to each one of us this day, so that we may go out from this place and bring praise and glory to your name. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to start off by telling a story that I read recently. It's about Thanksgiving and creating a bit of a new perspective. I heard of a fellow who wished to dispose of his home. He called his real estate agent and said, "I want to run an ad in the paper to sell my home. Get rid of it as quickly as you can. I'm tired of this old place." The agent said, "Tell me something about your home so I can run a good ad." The man told him how many rooms it had. It had carpet. There were expensive shrubs in the yard. He told him about the fruit trees in the backyard and many other advantages. He described the house in detail. When he finished, the agent said, "I'll read it back to you, and you tell me how it sounds." And he read the ad about this beautiful 3-bedroom home, 2 bathrooms, a good stand of grass, fruit trees in the backyard, a new roof, central heating, a remodeled carport for 2 cars. He kept on reading until the owner stopped. Wait a minute, stop. That house is not for sale. All my life, I've been wanting a place like that. But I didn't realize I had one until now. That ring bells? Many circumstances shift our focus from God if we let them and wear us down. Illness, grief, stress, aging are just a few. What if we thank God for what we have learned through the challenges in our life? And in a sense, we see this point played out in our gospel reading for today. 10 lepers cry out for mercy. And Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. They are asked to exercise some faith and to be obedient, which they do. However, only one returns to give thanks and to show gratitude back to Jesus. Firstly, the Samaritan returned praising God. Secondly, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. This is not some half-baked head response, but a heart response full of gratitude. Jesus asks, were not all 10 lepers cleansed? Where are the other 9? Only the foreigner returned to give thanks. And as I reflected on the illustration and our gospel reading, 2 thoughts came to mind. Do I take Jesus and what he has done for me for granted at times? And the second one was, do I take my spouse for granted at times? Marriage Encounter was really strong about what they call love letters. And the idea was that you would write a letter, predominantly it was about gratitude and thanks and about how you are to your spouse. It was a way of communicating so that we don't fall into that trap of taking our spouse for granted. And as we explore today's readings and the points that come out of that, I believe that maybe these are a way that we can express our thanks, not so much in a love letter to our Lord, but in words to our Lord for what he has done and what he's doing in our life. And so from our gospel reading, we note that God honours faith and obedience. The healing of the lepers occurred after they turned and went. They acted in faith. They started on their journey to show themselves to the priest. As the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 11, without faith, it is not possible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith demands commitment at the level of our heart. Obedience demands commitment at the level of our feet. I can only lift one foot. So let us look at what Paul has to say regarding obedience leading to actions in our reading from 1 Thessalonians. Now, I'm specifically picking out the verses that were on the screen, 16 to 18. So the question that I'm going to ask you is, in those few verses, what actions did you see that was quite specific in that passage? Any ideas? Okay. Rejoice always. What's the next one? Pray continually. And what was the last one? Give thanks in all circumstances.
Yeah.
Now, who are we doing this for? Thanks, Kevin. Who are we doing this for? God's will. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. To rejoice, to pray, to give thanks are easier when our circumstances are favourable. But it requires much more intentionality and help from the Spirit when in stormy seas. Is that right, Mike? This is when our faith and obedience is surely tested. So to the first action, rejoice always. Rejoice is a call to be joyful, a choice to be grateful for what God has done and is doing in our lives. In today's world, it's easy to fall into despair, wars, extreme climate events, politics, scams, murder, violence, family breakups, and the list goes on and on. Yet as Christians, we are called to be joyful, which is a positive emotion rather than a negative emotion of hopelessness. So how can we be positive and joyful when God's creation is being torn apart by humans? We need to have a reason to rejoice, even when our circumstances don't supply one. A confidence and a thankfulness in prayer that it is not derived from our circumstances, so that when things are difficult, we can call out to the Lord. Help us, Lord. I'm in a mess. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. We need a sensitivity to the work of the Spirit so that when our circumstances, good, very well, drown the Spirit out, when a situation is so painful, so discouraging, and so overwhelming that we really can't hear anything else, we can still realize that the Spirit is working in us. It's working, walking alongside us. And we are able to rejoice in that fact, that our good shepherd is by our side, even though we may walk through the darkest valley. Focused on him, we will fear no evil. For his rod and his staff comfort and reassure us. Commit our way to the Lord. Draw strength from the Lord. Put on the armour of God daily and rejoice in knowing who we are in Christ. Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Paul wrote that passage whilst he was in chains. He is making this comment at a time when things were not so good for him. The more we rejoice in Jesus, the more joyful we become. Developing a close relationship with our Lord and Saviour as we spend more and more time with him in reading his word, reflecting on his word, and in prayer. In prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to fill us each day with fresh power for obedience and helping us grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And to the second action, pray continually. As Jenna said last week, pray in the Spirit at all times. Keep alert. Be armed from the start of the day until the end. And if my hearing was correct, I think Jenna's mentioned that she starts her day in prayer before she exits the bed. I can't do that. If I stay in bed, I will drop off to sleep again. So I get up, put something warm on, and then pray. Sorry, Lord. Having a set schedule of prayer to start the day has helped me to be able to pray during the day. I need that discipline. For example, I found a set schedule to vacuum the carpets, the only way I can ensure that the carpet is going to get regularly vacuumed. The same with prayer. I might be unique that I need such structure. My to-do list seems to have a life of its own and seems to spring to that life as the day starts. By starting the day in the Lord's word and prayer reminds me of who and what my priority is. As Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Although starting the day with the Lord won't prevent the day from unraveling. If and when it does, we can draw strength from the Holy Spirit in prayer. Like exercise, the more we pray, the more easier it becomes during the day, particularly arrow prayers about the small things that happen during our day. Matthew Henry says this about praying continually. The meaning is not that men should not do nothing but pray. I think we'd all get into trouble if we did that. But that nothing else we do should hinder prayer in its proper season. Prayer will help, not hinder. Be encouraged that we are a work in progress. We are the clay and our Heavenly Father, the potter, who continues a good work in us. While he molds us, he asks us to persevere. Work at increasing our prayer life with the help of the Holy Spirit. Check if there is anything hindering our relationship with the Lord. Self-examine and where forgiveness or forgiving is necessary, deal with it. And to the third action, give thanks in all circumstances. Paul adds that it is God's will to do so. But regardless of how difficult our circumstances may be, we can find reason to thank God. Driving down the hill this morning, I could barely feel my toes. It was so cool. But as we drove, we looked out over the bay. And the master artist had created an amazing seascape, landscape, whatever you want to call it, a magic picture. The clouds gradually thinning out against the water, the clouds folded in amongst the trees. It was just so fantastic, so beautiful that instead of worrying about my toes, we came down the hill praising the Lord for his abundant beauty and goodness. It was a blessing. And we can be thankful that all the things work together for good if we belong to Jesus. We can be thankful that God's grace is sufficient to sustain us in every circumstance. We can be thankful that nothing can separate us from God's love. We can be thankful that God supports us spiritually when trials produce difficulty in our prayer life. Tough circumstances also prove a genuineness of our faith. We may not thank God after a day in the garden when every muscle in our body is screaming out in agony. But we can give thanks to God for what we've been able to achieve in the garden that day. We may not thank God for an illness, but we can be thankful for medicines and doctors. Persecution is not something that we would be thankful for, but we can be thankful that God can use that hardship for our eternal benefit. We can be thankful that God is with us in our situation. He walks with us. He carries our burden if we ask. Be grateful for God's love, grace, and mercy that saved us through Jesus. Our gratitude should spring from a heart, not the head. From Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And Jeremiah says in chapter 29, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. But what is the motivation to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances? It is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Surrendering our lives to Jesus, he is our secure foundation, our cornerstone, our anchor. As Hebrews 6 says, he is our hope for the soul, firm and secure. He is our high priest. Let him sit on the throne of our heart. And a few suggestions that may help us in this practice of being obedient to God's will. Keep a blessing journal. Get into the habit each day of listing a few blessings. From this, gratitude will grow in our heart. They don't have to be big blessings. Might be a hug, beautiful weather, nice cup of coffee, a chat with the neighbour or friend. It's the little things that happen minute by minute that we can give thanks for that will strengthen our gratitude. Develop a rhythm of thanking God for his love every morning and faithfulness every evening. Forgive those who hurt you. Give thanks during the day as things happen, like finding the car keys that have been misplaced and listening to worship music. That can help prompt thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray. Father God, our words cannot in any way express our gratitude to you. They fall so far short, Lord, but you know the hearts of each of us. We just thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that you call us to be obedient, to rejoice always, and to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. We give you thanks, Father, that we know that you walk beside us minute by minute in all things. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you with our praise, with our worries, with all things, because we know that you hear us. We thank you for your Spirit that lives within us, to guide us, to strengthen us, and empower us to live for you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.